Hi, podcast listeners. The legislature said bye-bye, signy-die, and it's been a good session this year. Tony will tell you about it. Thankfully, the legislators included a return proviso in the signy-die resolution that allows them to come back and pass an abortion bill. And what is going to be the content of that pro-life legislation here in South Carolina? That's the bulk of what Tony and I are going to talk about on today's show. Can pro-life legislators in pro-life states like Louisiana and South Carolina find a bill that will satisfy both abolitionists and incrementalists? And are those even the correct or the most meaningful categories of pro-life activists? Should a mother who performs a self-induced abortion be charged with murder? Is that a wise or workable path forward? Difficult and uncomfortable questions, but necessary ones. Thanks for listening.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's Friday the 13th. Ooh. Wow. That just kind of hit me. This is Tony Beam, Director of Church and Community Engagement for the Tim Brasher Campus of North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference and where we are equipping transformational leaders for the church and society. And Austin Barker is my co-host, but he is not here. And I feel like he's probably en route. We'll be here shortly. Because that was my understanding, he was going to be here today. I knew he wasn't going to be here yesterday, but I'm expecting him today. So if you're listening, get in here. Good grief. Anyway, yesterday the South Carolina legislature said bye-bye and went to signy-die. And they're coming back, I think June 15th is the date that they'll come back and do the conference, or at least that's one of the conference sessions. Now, just to tell you how some of this stuff works, let's take the Medical Rights of Conscience Act, which passed the House, went over to the Senate, was amended in the Senate, and then sent back to the House. And the House has to concur. So if the bill stays in the House, if it stays the same way in the Senate, in other words, if the Senate makes no changes, then they just simply send it on. If they pass it, they send it on to the governor for his signature. But if they make changes, if they amend the bill, then it has to go back to the House, and the House has to sign off on it. If the House can't, in other words, they don't get to a vote, they can't decide, they can't concur, then it goes to a conference committee. And the House appoints people, the Senate appoints people, and they come together and decide what to do about the bill, how to reconcile the two versions. Bills can die in the conference committee. I mean, if they can't come to an agreement, then it just goes away. So we need to just be aware of that, and Medical Rights of Conscience is one of those bills that's going to go to conference. I think that the other bill that's going to conference for sure is the school choice bill. I think there were some changes on it that were going to require conference because they couldn't concur. So we'll still be tracking and letting you know what's going on with all that. As I told you yesterday, we did not get medical marijuana, which in my mind is a good thing. I worked hard to try to keep us from getting medical marijuana. So next session in the House, starting in January of 2023, it's going to be a pretty pitched battle, I'm sure, to see what happens with that. We've got a lot of public relations, a lot of marketing, a lot of information to get out to people in South Carolina between now and January to try to kind of swing the tide on this battle. And so that's going to be a major one coming up. And, of course, in signy-die, they did put a provision in there for abortion to come back, considering whether or not, you know, if the court does stick with its current stand on Roe versus Wade, Casey versus Planned Parenthood, then it opens the door for more than the heartbeat bill. The heartbeat bill certainly would go into effect, but there are many who would like to see, including me, abortion come to an end in South Carolina. But the real stickler is going to be, how does that happen? How does abortion come to an end? And to be an abolitionist means something new. You can't be considered, like, I've just said that I think abortion should come to an end. In my mind, that makes me an abolitionist. I want abortion to stop. But unless I agree that we're going to charge a woman with murder under the current legal system, I'm not an abolitionist. You have to embrace that. And we had a bill that was in the Louisiana House. It failed to pass yesterday over that very argument. So we'll talk about that here in just a little bit, because it's going to become significant. This will be one of many conversations we have, I'm sure, in the next few weeks over this issue. All right, Eugene is on the phone. Eugene, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I'd just like to say, Dr. Tony Nelson, I hope you gentlemen enjoyed the birthday party last night.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I've been watching.
I see.
Anyhow.
Yes.
My comment was, on Wednesday, your time, President Biden made a public announcement, White House flags to be flown at half staff in memory of the 1 million corona deaths in the U.S., which, first of all, that's not accurate, but failed to mention anything about the multiple millions of babies that have been murdered.
Well, of course they're not going to say that. I mean, you didn't expect that, right? I mean, you weren't expecting the White House to come out and say, we mourn the death of these babies, since they haven't met a baby yet in the womb that they wouldn't dispatch if they could make a buck or if it was inconvenient for the mother. So I'm sure you realize that.
No, I realize that, but he speaks out of both sides of his mouth. First, he'll talk about it's a woman's choice to murder that unborn baby. And then in the next sentence, oh, we can't get baby formula here. What's wrong?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I tweeted about that. You know, a former lawmaker, actually, that kind of made history by saying, here we are arguing over abortion and we should be focusing on the formula situation. And, you know, it's not like, do you stop? And did you hear what came out of your mouth? You know, sometimes I want to ask that question. You realize you're concerned about children not being able to eat, but you're perfectly willing to kill them before they're born. That doesn't make a lot of sense. So that's welcome to the world.
Well, anyhow, I just thought I'd take a moment to call in real quick. And I appreciate the opportunity that you allow me to call in from here.
Well,
and I know you're going on vacation next week.
Yes.
And so we will pray for physical, spiritual, and emotional renewing for you.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. Thanks for calling today. I don't have any problem with the flag being lowered to half staff to remember the people who have died of the coronavirus. I don't know how many people have died. I mean, I don't know if it's a million, half a million. Everybody wants to argue and fuss about that. A lot of people have died. And so, as far as I'm concerned, because, I think it's fine to remember those and to mourn. I have several people I'm thinking about now that passed away that I know that, you know, I'd like to think that they're being honored. And the coronavirus is not over. I mean, we still have, people are still getting sick. People are still dying. It's just that we've decided to live with it, which is what we should have decided a long time ago. And there's all kinds of information out there. I was trying to find the article that I read, I think it was Monday. And I thought to myself, I'm going to talk about that. And I haven't been able to find it again, so I don't know about how genuine, but it was talking about that the Pfizer clinical trials were bogus, and I couldn't tell if it was on the vaccine or on the pills that they've come out with to treat coronavirus, because I just saw the headline and kind of started reading, and then I got distracted. Something happened. So anyway, I'm going to go back and take a look at that, see if I can find that story. I haven't found it since, but it's out there somewhere. Just don't know how prevalent. Okay, good morning. How you doing?
Hi, I'm okay.
Good.
Thank you. Sorry I was late. I promise I wouldn't have been late if I hadn't hit every single stinking red light between here and the hospital in Easley.
You know, I've noticed red lights do have an odor to them. While you're sitting there in the car, you can just smell
Oh, that's a way friendlier word than I could have used.
Yes, yes, it is. And thank you for not causing Gary to have to dump your comments over there.
But
anyway,
it's a mystery to me because I'm actually quite a nice person. Everyone says so, until I get on the road and I just turn into some sort of monster.
Who are these people that think you're a nice person? I mean, are these people that know you well? Or are they casual acquaintances? Or?
I'd say, according to most public opinion surveys, 70% of people agree that I'm a wonderful person.
Really?
And also, wow. 2 out of every 3 statistics are made up on the spot.
So. Yeah, which includes this one. Members of the Louisiana House of Representatives failed to pass a bill that would have abolished abortion by applying homicide laws to women who procure the procedure. This is coming from Daily Wire, written by Ben Zesloft, and it's published today. The Abolition of Abortion in Louisiana Act, which is, I like that title. We could, you know, kind of transfer that over to South Carolina, don't you think? The Abolition of Abortion in South Carolina.
If you do the acronym, which people love to do, that's Allah.
Well, it doesn't have an H in there. Got to have an H.
I'm not saying it's that Allah, but I'm just saying it's Allah.
That's how you'd have to pronounce it, isn't it?
I think so, unless it's Ayala.
Okay. Well,
no wonder they voted against it.
Yeah, I know. It's got all that Muslim stuff in there. Wow.
Super interested in this. This is like the fulcrum on, this is the future. We're going to be having these conversations for a year or 10.
I wonder if Akbar is in there somewhere.
No, Allahu Akbar.
Stop.
To spell it.
I'm not going to hawk up a loogie I'm not going to live with the results of having to say that. Okay. The Abolition of Abortion in Louisiana Act, HB 813, which has gained national and international media attention, recognizes the right to life and equal protection of the laws to all unborn children from the moment of fertilization by protecting them from the same laws protecting other human beings. Accordingly, it applied state laws about homicide to children in the womb. So basically it said that anybody, if you're responsible for the death of a child in the womb, you could be prosecuted for murder.
Sounds a lot like personhood to me.
Yeah, it's very close to it.
It's shoehorning personhood through homicide legislation.
Well, not necessarily shoehorning, but look, I'm sitting here. I'm a fairly sentient, try to be logical, consistent human being.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm talking about something where I know that it's a baby in the womb.
Yes.
And that the intentional killing of any human being is murder.
Okay.
So why do I not want to apply the murder statute to women who have abortions?
I think it's because you recognize that there are various pressures being exerted on that person when they're making that decision.
That's part of it.
So it's one thing to say, if my car veers out of control, under my power, it veers out of control because I was changing the radio station and I hit a pedestrian and killed them, well, that's a manslaughter charge. If I take my car and aim it at someone with the intent of running them over and killing them, that's a murder one.
Yeah.
You know, versus if my brakes fail and I veer off the road and kill someone, well, then it's like the car company gets held liable for that mechanical failure.
Right.
So the liability of, or the prosecutability of abortion, I think, can be spread across. Some people are shout your abortion. They are intentional. They're killing a baby. They know they're killing a baby, and they're killing a baby.
Everybody who has an abortion, but here's the this is the problem with it. Your analogy is based on some failure along the way of something that relieves the person who's responsible for a death of some portion of the responsibility for it.
I definitely am not saying that women are guiltless.
Right.
That's
the problem, because
women are sinners, and they're doing wrong.
You know, you have to know that you're taking a human life when you go into an abortion clinic. But, I mean, that's for me because of what I believe about conception.
Definitely.
And life.
Definitely. What if you don't actually believe that that's a baby?
Well, then the society...
You believe badly. But the law has been lying to people, persuading them of a lie for 50 years.
And that should factor in. So I'm glad you're... I didn't know where you were going to be on this. So I'm glad you're thinking about those things because I think it's important. But, so you almost get to the point where you try to discern what is the intent of the mother.
How does a law do that?
Well, and see, that's the thing. As I was thinking about this morning, I said, first ban abortion, okay? And hold the abortion industry responsible. Hold the doctor responsible, hold the people that committed the abortion responsible. And if women are going to be held accountable, that's going to have to evolve.
See, and those because you have you're talking about medical abortions where there's a doctor present and performing a dilation and evacuation procedure.
Right.
But what of chemical abortion, which now comprises 55% of abortions, and tomorrow is going to be 70%.
Yeah. Well, but what I'm saying is, for the culture, the concept of charging a mother with murder because of the death. We've had abortion since 1973.
Two generations have grown
legalized.
Up with their moral imagination formed by the fact that it is okay to kill a baby as long as the baby's in utero.
Right. Or they've been formed, their thinking's been formed by, this is not a baby.
At all.
It's a clump of cells. It's a fetus. It's a whatever it is before they decide it's human
life. It's your body.
Life.
It's your choice.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they've been told.
It's not a baby. It's a choice.
And that it is an appendage. It's something that's attached to the mother that can be discarded without any problem.
It's like an appendicitis.
So, yeah.
This is a problem, and it's rupturing, and
it needs to be evacuated. You need to have it removed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't generally use that terminology, but that's kind of the mindset, of course, that people who are all in for abortion, they have that mindset.
And to not factor in the amount of pressure that's on women by cultural pressures, economic pressures.
I can't
afford to have this baby right now. I just lost my job.
Yeah,
and if I carry this baby to term, I'm going to have to take 6 months off work. All those economic pressures, and then the boyfriend saying, I'm not supporting you if you have that baby.
But all of that could be said about any human being. You can't apply those arguments because you're not talking about a decision that doesn't affect someone else. You're talking about You wouldn't make any of those arguments if a person said, my mother over here is in the way. We want to get married, but I'm having to take care of her. She's an inconvenience because I can't hold down a job because I have to be here for her all the time, and I can't afford to pay anybody to come and sit with her. So I'll just kill her, and, that'll be the end of that. Everybody would be appalled. We'd be appalled. Chris would be appalled. It's something like that.
I hope he would.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I
Chris's
guarantee
moral
you.
Imagination is not ordered properly.
I don't want to start up with him before I even raise him onto the program here. But I'm just saying that nobody's going to embrace that. Okay.
Right.
Because
so then we're back to the definition of what are we talking about?
What are we talking about? And if we're talking about life, you really have a hard time. I mean, I do. Now, I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm not embracing charging a woman with murder. But I understand the argument, and I think that we cannot start there. We cannot, because what's going to happen is what happened in Louisiana. You're going to have a major split, and I told somebody this the other day when they were talking about, we're going to come back, they put abortion in sine die, and we were having the conversation, do you think South Carolina will ban abortion? And I said, I do, unless the divide comes over whether to charge the mother. And I don't know how many people there are who want to do that at this moment, but I know that the people, I'm talking about in the legislature, but the people who don't like me and don't think I'm pro-life because I won't support that, they're going to demand that be in there. And so That could be a dividing factor that keeps us from doing anything except reverting back to the heartbeat bill.
And listen to that division happen from a real live person. And listen to me say, abortion is murder. It is the taking of an innocent life.
Yeah.
I don't support the charging of the mother at this point with murder.
I don't either.
Do you see how see that division exists in a real life person?
I hear that because, you know, when I'm looking at people that are my friends that think I'm on the wrong side of this issue.
Right.
Usually I'm very aggressive and confident in my positions to the point that I argue them vehemently.
Right.
And I have some places that I go with the information to back up my side.
Yes.
And that's not the case here. Because this is a very sensitive, complicated issue, but it does speak to, you know, of where we are as a culture and the general understanding of what life is, because we still don't have a lot of that. And I just don't think the public, the culture is ready to start putting women on trial and possibly putting them in jail for 25 years to life for murder too. Or in some cases, I guess you could make the case for murder one. I mean, it's certainly, if you get in your car and drive to abortion clinic, I think a decent prosecutor could make a case for premeditation.
Right.
You know, it's not like you stumbled into the abortion clinic and somebody said, oh, let me take that baby for you.
Uh-huh.
So this is a big deal.
Yeah, okay. I have 3 points that I want to make on this that'll help.
Sure.
I think it'll bring some light into this issue.
I'm certainly happy to hear them.
Okay.
But we'll talk to Chris before we get the light in the issue. We'll talk to Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Morning, guys. I hope you both are doing well.
Hi.
We are thriving with human flourishing today.
Good to hear. And before I forget, I want to wish your wife a happy birthday today.
Thank you, sir. She is wonderful. So
I'm sure she is.
Yes.
I hope she has a fantastic day.
Thank you.
And I was just going to call in to invite everyone who's listening that tomorrow at Cleveland Park between 12 and 2, there's going to be a rally to support women's right to choose. And I hope to get to see some of you guys there.
Well, will there be are you going to like build an altar where people can come and lay their babies out there when they come to that? I mean,
I don't think there's going to be any altars there.
They won't do that?
It's going to be, you know, a rally.
Moloch, you won't be talking about Baal or Moloch or any of the gods of the Old Testament that demanded child sacrifice. I mean, it just seems to me that would be
appropriate. They might talk about that one who drowned all those people. They might talk about, or that one who sent those
Pharaoh,
she bears to kill those 42 children. They might talk about that god.
Oh, I see.
Or the one who killed all those Egyptian firstborn. They might talk about that one. What do you think?
Well, I think you're talking about, as you always do, two different things. Which you're talking. Well, no, you can laugh if you want to, but that's exactly what you're doing. The god Moloch and the god Baal required that people bring their babies and put them on hot altars and where they burned to death, and that was part of the worship of that god. What you're talking about?
And laughed at a bald guy and.
You know,
a deity sent 42 killed 42 children with a she bear.
You know, you know enough about the Bible.
What is worse?
You know, I'll tell you what's worse. Somebody who doesn't know the Bible well enough to be able to interpret it, and somebody who hates the God of the Bible and decides to come on and use stories like that to undermine the God of the Bible. That's what bothers me. But you know, anyway, let me go back and finish the story. So hang on to
your
questions.
Please do. I'm very interested in it.
Yeah. Well. Let's see here. See, the reason it didn't pass the House is because the sponsor of the bill pulled it from the floor after it was amended. So they had the votes to pass it.
Oh.
But because they amended it to say that a woman wouldn't be criminally liable,
then the sponsor no longer supported his own legislation as
that's
amended.
That's right. So he pulled it from the floor. Last week, lawmakers on the Louisiana House's Criminal Justice Committee approved the bill by a 7-2 vote. However, after legislators approved an amendment on Thursday stating that the pregnant female shall not be held responsible for the criminal consequences of seeking an abortion, by a 65-26 vote, it's important to note the numbers there.
It is.
65-26 would have passed this in, you know, overwhelmingly. State Representative Danny McCormick, the Republican who sponsored HB 813, asked to pull the bill from the House floor. Lobbying groups in favor of HB 813 condemned the Louisiana lawmakers' decision. Now, I want you to listen to some of the stuff they said. And this is where, you know, regardless of where you land on this issue, this is where we're going to have a new division in the pro-life community that could hinder making stricter abortion laws. For this, I mean, you realize if this would have been allowed to pass, it would have been illegal in Louisiana to have an abortion.
Criminal.
It would have been, yeah, it would have been a crime.
Illegal.
Yeah, abortion doctors could have been prosecuted. You know, clinics would have been closed. I mean, there's a lot of, and you know, this is going to be called increment. This is the new incrementalism. Gary, thank you. This is the new incrementalism of which is kind of a fascinating thing. Here's the statement. We came to support HB 813 as it was a righteous and just bill, treating abortion as murder and standing up to the unconstitutional rulings of the Supreme Court. Free the States Director T. Russell Hunter told the Daily Wire, as it has been amended and is no longer an abolitionist bill, but a standard pro-life bill that does not treat abortion as murder, does not establish equal justice, and submits to Roe versus Wade, we now oppose HB 813. Now, the last part of that is ridiculous. It doesn't. If you outlaw abortion and say that you can't have an abortion just because you're not charging the woman, that doesn't mean that it submits to Roe versus Wade. I don't get that part of the
I don't understand people on either side, Tony, and that's why I'm so bipolar on this issue. Is because let me talk to the abolitionists for a minute and say, what do you want us to do? Do you really think, let's say, short of putting her in jail, even if we could get them to agree? I mean, the correct penalty for murder, if we're talking about, is this a capital crime now? Do you want us to?
If it's first degree murder, it would be capital crime.
Okay, so if you're going to call it a capital crime, then you're going to talk about
the
capital punishment. Okay,
yep.
All right. So that's the extreme end. But short of that, lock them up. I mean, is it really the right answer to put abortion minded women in cages? Okay, so short of that, let's fine them $10,000. Many women, and it's not, I wouldn't even say it's the majority, but enough of them that we can't ignore the reality that many women have abortions for economic reasons, out of economic hardship, perceived or real economic hardship. Let's fine them $10,000 for having their abortion. That's going to help them, isn't it? That's really serving women. That's really promoting life and flourishing, isn't it?
Many drug dealers murder other people to advance their drug business out of economic necessity.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, they're poor. They get a hold of some drugs. They sell them. They want to sell them. Something goes awry, and they kill somebody in the process. Now, what are you going to do with that person? I mean, they're in an economic tight already. Are you going to fine them $10,000? Are you going to? I mean, see, when you begin to make an argument, all I have to do is substitute.
Just apply it to someone else.
I'll just substitute some other situation that we would never question whether we would hold a person accountable for murder.
That is well reasoned.
And then the argument is over. I mean, in terms of, you know.
Okay, I got it. The difference between that and this, though, is that we have created a culture. The law, in its teaching role, the law does serve a teaching. It informs our moral imagination. And our moral imagination has not been so informed that it is okay for a drug dealer to kill his partner and his business partner. Okay? You can't do that because no one would believe that that's okay. Now we're trying to take this huge ship of abortion-minded women and turn them, pivot toward life, toward respect for the personhood. for the right to life of a baby, of a preborn baby.
Which has...
So we have to do that in increments.
There are moral implications to that that have to be received. You have to believe the way we believe about life in order to fully accept that.
And the law can't do that.
Well, yes, it can, okay. Because the law does define life. I mean, that it defines when life begins in ways already, and it defines when life ends. I mean, if you have a brain scan, I think you have to have two, maybe three successive brain scans with no activity, then that's your brain dead. And the only reason you're alive is because there's a machine forcing oxygen through your body and making your heart artificially pump.
Right.
So the lack of brain activity and no heartbeat or respiration.
That's a legal definition of
death.
Yeah,
you're dead. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we already do that. We decide. We've made decisions about what life
is.
We
put legal parameters around life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So now the question is the baby in a womb alive? Is that life? And for my whole life, I believe the answer to that question is yes. And so...
My children believe that that's yes. We had
my children.
My 11-year-old and my 10-year-old, I asked them in the car the other day as we were driving, I said, is a baby in, you know, that's in, that, when a mom's pregnant, is that baby
right.
alive? And they
right.
said, yes. I said, even before it has a heart or a detectable heartbeat? And they're like, yes. I mean, there was not even a question in their mind. I said, so what is it that makes a person alive? Is it a heartbeat that, like we define as life? Because if you don't have one prior or a detectable one prior to 6 weeks, do we define that as life? And they're like, no, when the sperm meets the egg, that's when you become human. So, I mean, but that's kind of a de facto view of reality.
Well, and that's why, this is going to be a tough issue.
We need to have grace for each other.
Definitive.
We're
not.
For pro-lifers.
No, we're not. Here, listen to this. The Louisiana House of Representatives just had a bill before them that would protect all human beings from being murdered with impunity and therefore abolishing abortion in their state, Pastor Brett Baggett of Rescue Those noted. What did the pro-life legislators do? They gutted it in order to keep abortion legal. Now, in a nutshell, this is it. So I'm standing there. Let this be me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just tried to get a law passed that would outlaw abortion, but it does not criminalize the mother. Okay? And then he comes up to me and said, you have just intentionally tried to keep abortion legal. You have, because that's what he said here.
He did.
They gutted it in order to, which means with the intent of allowing abortion to stay legal. And see, the significant portion of my life that's been dedicated to stopping abortion is going to rise up and punch his lights out for suggesting that I'm trying on purpose to foster the abortion industry. Now, we're not having a conversation after that. Okay.
So
I mean,
purest,
I could try.
The purest and pragmatic pro-life arguments have always, I would say even a fight, has always been being conducted, but so far it's been with paintball guns. All of a sudden it just went fire.
No, we're nuclear.
These are real bullets now that are flying.
We're nuclear.
Yeah.
Because
the issue's live.
Gloves
now.
Off.
That's right.
And this is going to, come up this summer at mm-hmm. the Southern Baptist Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Louisiana Right to Life announced its opposition to HB 813 ahead mm-hmm. of the House vote mm-hmm. because it applied criminal penalties to mothers who procure abortion. Likewise, Governor John Bel Edwards, who is a Democrat, remarking that his Catholic Christian faith teaches him to be pro-life, mm-hmm. followed suit in opposing the legislation. I felt I had to join my voice to the chorus of pro-life organizations around HB 813. Louisiana Right to Life Governor Edwards and others argued that mothers should be allowed to murder as many of their children as they want with impunity, and that we must wait for the Supreme Court to give us permission before obeying Christ and upholding the constitutional right to life. Silberman added.
Guns, babies, Jesus.
I don't know who Silberman is here. Free the State's Communications Director, James Silberman. Okay. But let's see, upholding constitutional right to life. They are wrong on both counts, and babies will continue to be murdered in Louisiana because of it. You are the source, sir. You are the one that's causing, oh, wait a minute, I wanted to outlaw our abortions. I wanted to shut down all the abortion clinics. No. Unless you agree with us that you've got to charge the mother with murder, you, sir, are an abortionist. You are, see, this is going to start.
That's all or nothingism.
That's happening. That's going to happen.
That's going to happen
in Columbia.
It's going to happen across the nation.
Yeah, Kenneth is on the phone. Kenneth, are you there? Kenneth is not there. Chris, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
I hope y'all are doing well this morning.
We're living life to the full.
Amen. I wanted to bring a little perspective. I consider myself somewhat of a student of history, and but I'm far from an expert. But the best way that I understand the Founding Fathers and their take on slavery, and I know this is a little to the side, but it applies. They disagreed with slavery, but in the midst of getting the Constitution
yes.
passed, ratified,
yep.
they had to give on that topic, even though they opposed it. And I believe that abortion in this case is the same way. We may have to take baby steps to get to the point that we'd like to be at.
Well, you can't take baby steps.
The details.
You can't take baby steps with a dead baby. Okay? You hear me, Chris? Yeah. You can't.
100%.
Chris, I'm teasing you.
I am completely opposed
to
abortion.
I'm just teasing you because I'm just.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had him.
Oh, my goodness.
You
that's
know.
Funny.
No, I had him. No, look, Chris, I understand. I hear, I'm listening to the biography of James Madison right now. I'm working my way through the founders' biographies, listening to them. I'm reading some other books, but at the same time, I'm listening to these biographies. And every one of them, James Adams, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, all of them were, in fact, there were efforts in the early legislature to ban slavery. And like you said, these men were ready. They weren't ready. They knew that slavery had to be done away with. They knew they were being hypocritical when they said all people deserve equal rights and equal justice, and you had people out there plowing in the field with no rights and no justice. They understood that, but you're exactly right. In forming a country, they knew that it would not endure, and they could not take on that issue and bring a country to life, because it would have torn every allegiance. It would have, and so they backed off. Now, history would criticize them for that, but the United States is here, and the question of whether it would have been or not was greatly in doubt during those, particularly the late 1780s into the mid 1790s, and maybe a little bit beyond. But that was there was about a 10-year window there where the fate of the country was very much in doubt after the Revolutionary War. And so I think you're making – that's a valid point. It's a good point. So, and I was
–
yeah, you're welcome. I was yanking
your
chain.
I believe that we will give the Lord room to work if we can keep moving in the right direction, however small the steps.
Well, exactly. And if we can keep yelling at each other so much and accusing each other of so many horrible things. So anyway, Chris, thank you, sir. Thanks for listening. That was a great call. Listen to this last statement here from the story. Last week, Gunter – this is the spokesperson for that pro-life group. Gunter remarked to the Daily Wire that Louisiana's current pro-life trigger law, now that's what we're going to be talking about in South Carolina, trigger law.
Mm-hmm.
Pro-life trigger law, the Human Life Protection Act, only penalizes abortionists with $1,000 fines, even though animal cruelty is fined up to $25,000 in Louisiana.
So that's a fine point. I agree that should be changed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And here's where I think if we're going to have any place to go to try to get something passed, abortionists are going to have stiff penalties, up to and including the possibility of being prosecuted for, you know, murder, manslaughter, whatever you want to call it.
I don't think you'll find a lot of disagreement among the pro-life community for penalizing or criminalizing abortion providers.
No, it needs to be, penalizing it. Let's set that word aside.
Yeah.
Criminalizing.
Yeah.
It would be a crime.
Right.
Punishable by penalties, and the penalties might include a person being charged with murder.
Yep. I think you could get to 50% plus one charging abortion providers.
I do too.
With murder.
And being pretty staunch about it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have any problem supporting that.
And no problem with banning chemical abortions from coming in the state and putting stiff penalties on the provision of those. People could, I mean, they can go online and get it from overseas too, you know. But again, I think we can agree on that.
Yeah. And as far as I know, I don't think you can do that already.
That's right.
In South Carolina.
Or Louisiana.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you keep out chemical abortions and you ban abortion and penalize the abortion providers, I mean, criminalize their behavior with penalties up to going to jail for murder, you've pretty much outlawed abortion in the state. And but now, so if it comes down to no, you haven't unless you charge the mother.
But you still have to, you have to have some sort of statutory penalty for if you find out that a mother has committed a self-induced abortion.
A self-induced abortion would be different to me.
Okay.
I mean, I think that could be handled differently. Mm. I could go as far as saying that if a woman just decide, you know, she somehow performs an abortion on herself, or that could be considered some type of criminal action that we could lay some penalties on.
I had a miscarriage.
Well, I know. See, how you're going to put that's going to be, now you're going to have a trial.
Forensic evidence.
Evidentiary, you know, standards will have to be met, and what evidence would be admitted and what evidence wouldn't. I mean, you know, you're going to go down that road.
You're 18 weeks pregnant and you drank a gallon of castor oil. So,
yeah, but I don't know that would kill. I don't know either.
I don't know either.
But I'm just saying that, you know, this has the potential. Number one, this has the potential of keeping us from getting anything. I mean, because Louisiana right now has nothing. Now, maybe they're going to come back and try again. Maybe they're going to, you know, maybe somebody else will sponsor a bill that has the, you know, that doesn't criminalize women, and
that's
then
right.
It passes.
With the majority, the 65-26 majority.
If that majority holds. Mm-hmm. But stories like this, and see, and when people start throwing accusations around, you know, I I'm willing to listen and have the debate.
We're going to have to be willing to do that.
I'm willing. Yep. I'm willing. But I'm not willing to have people accuse me of wanting to kill babies if I don't want to criminalize mother. That I won't stand for that.
I said in my email to the Colson Center, I said that, you know, with the imminent demise of Roe Casey, we are going to be forced to have some necessary and uncomfortable conversations.
Yes.
How much discomfort are we going to tolerate? People have been, Tony, with me for as long as I've been a person, a thinking person, have been failing to distinguish me on their left from on the left. Okay, I'm to their left, but I'm not on the left.
Right.
I'm firmly on the right side of the political spectrum,
but I am
to the left of some of my Republican colleagues,
well,
as we say.
If you were on the left,
so I've been tolerating.
I wouldn't have you.
I know you wouldn't, but I've been tolerating that accusation for a long time, and it doesn't. It rankles with me and it bothers me. But I'm just saying that we might have to just as incrementalists, we realize that there's a cultural component to this. There's not only a political and legal component to it. There's a cultural component, and so we have to now turn our attention to changing the hearts and minds and making abortion unnecessary and unthinkable.
Well, we're at a pivot point historically, and an amazing opportunity here. But the
we can squander that
lost.
By breaking it.
Yes, and by statements like I just read, and
saying that incrementalists are pro-abortionists.
Yeah, well,
that's badly reasoned.
And also saying that you are an incrementalist if you don't want to charge a woman with murder. See, that's
there
the,
may
that's
come
a
day
brand
for
new
that. That day. I want the day, but I want the day when that charge would never be leveled, because women would never think of having an abortion.
Yeah. All right, we've got news coming up top of the hour. We're going to jump to it, and then we'll be back with a lot more stuff happening out there. Looking for a call from Senator Kimbrell to wrap up the legislative year. We'll see if that's going to happen in a minute.